All right, let's dive in. Today we're looking at a case that's all about contracts. It's J.O. Hooker & Sons v. Roberts Cabinet Co., a 1996 Mississippi Supreme Court decision. And, you know, it might sound a little dry, like just another subcontractor fight, but trust me, this one's got some real gems in there about how to interpret contracts when you can walk away from a deal and how to prove damages. It's going to make you think twice about that fine print.
Yeah, you know what's really interesting is that it all started with a simple question. Who throws away the old cabinets?
Oh, so like a renovation project gone wrong.
Exactly. We've got Hooker, the general contractor, and Roberts, the cabinet subcontractor. Things were already a little tense because Roberts realized their initial bid was way too low. So they asked for an extra $23,000.
Oof, yeah, that's a tough spot to be in.
Right. But Hooker was under pressure to keep things moving, so they agreed. But then this whole other issue pops up. Who's responsible for getting rid of those old cabinets?
Okay, so like demolition debris and stuff.
Exactly. Hooker claimed it was implied in the contract, you know, based on the phrase, as per plans and specs. Sounds reasonable enough, right? Like it's just part of the job.
Yeah, I mean, I'd probably assume the same thing.
Well, the court didn't buy it. They really honed in on the exact language of that contract and said, as per plans and specs only referred to installing the new cabinets, not a word about removing the old ones. Their point was, if Hooker wanted Roberts to handle the disposal, it should have been spelled out clearly. No room for assumptions.
That's a good reminder to always get things in writing. But isn't that a bit harsh? Like, couldn't they consider common sense or what's usually done in these situations?
You know, the court was very clear. They said they're not in the business of enforcing obligations based on, you know, vague assertions of industry custom. Just because something is typically done a certain way doesn't automatically make it part of the contract. And think about it. How many times have you thought something was understood in an agreement only to find out later it wasn't? This case is like a giant flashing sign that says, be crystal clear in your contracts.
Yeah. I've definitely learned that lesson the hard way a few times.
Yeah.
So this might seem like a basic question, but did the Uniform Commercial Code apply here? Isn't that kind of the go-to for contract stuff?
That's a great question, and it brings up a really important point. The court actually decided that the UCC, which is all about transactions for goods, didn't apply because this case was more about a service. The removal of the cabinets, not the cabinets themselves.
Wait, so there are different rules depending on whether it's a product or a service.
Exactly. It's a critical distinction. Imagine the chaos if every service agreement was treated like a goods transaction under the UCC. Plumbers, electricians, even lawyers like us, we'd all be playing by a whole different set of rules.
Okay, now my head is spinning a bit, but let's bring it back to something everyone can relate to, breaking up, or in legal terms, ending a contract. Because Hooker tried to do just that, right? Call the whole thing off.
Right. They declared the entire contract void just because of this disposal dispute. But the court basically said, hold your horses. They ruled that Roberts' refusal to get rid of the cabinets wasn't a material breach.
Material breach? That sounds serious.
It is. It's not just any violation of the agreement. It has to be something that really undermines the whole purpose of the deal. In this case, Roberts had already started working, so Hooker couldn't just bail on the entire project. Their remedy was to sue for damages related to the disposal, not blow up the whole agreement.
So it's like in any relationship, you can't just call it quits at the first sign of trouble. There needs to be a real deal breaker, a fundamental problem.
Exactly. And this case gives us a legal perspective on something that happens all the time. When is it truly okay to walk away from a deal?
Okay, I'm starting to see how this cabinet case is actually pretty insightful. So let's talk about damages. What happened when it came to compensating Roberts?
The jury initially awarded Roberts $42,870, but the Supreme Court made a slight reduction, a $12,260 remittiture, to be exact.
Remittiture. I'm not sure everyone's familiar with that term.
It basically means the court reduced the amount of damages awarded. They knocked off a little bit of the money Roberts was supposed to get, and the reason why is really interesting.
Okay, I'm all ears.
Roberts had included $1,440 in their claim for storing the old cabinets, you know, after the whole contract went south. But the court looked at the evidence and found nothing to show that Roberts actually paid anything for storage.
Ah, so they were trying to get compensated for something they didn't actually lose money on.
Exactly. And the court was having none of it. They were very clear that you need solid proof of your losses to get damages. No speculative claims allowed.
So basically, it's not enough to just say, hey, I deserve this money.
Right.
You need receipts, invoices, something concrete.
You got it. The court was sending a strong message. No proof, no recovery.
That's a good life lesson in general, not just for legal stuff. But hold on, Robert still ended up with most of the damage.
Right, yeah, absolutely. The court upheld the majority of the award, including a 26% profit margin for Roberts.
Even though there was conflicting testimony about what a typical profit margin would be.
Yep. Even with differing opinions, the court went with the jury's decision on that. So this shows us that even when there's disagreement, if you can back up your claims with solid evidence, the court might just side with you.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground already. We've seen how a fight over cabinet disposal can teach us about clear contract language, the difference between goods and services, what a material breach really means, and why you always need to prove your damages.
And there's more. In the next part, we'll dig even deeper and see how these lessons apply to anyone who deals with contracts, whether you're a legal expert or just navigating everyday agreements. Stay tuned.
Welcome back, everyone. Let's jump right back into our deep dive of J.O. Hooker & Sons v. Roberts Cabinet Co. We uncovered some interesting stuff already, but I'm sure there's more to discuss.
Oh, definitely. This case is like an onion, you know, peel back one layer and you find another.
Okay, I like that analogy. So last time we talked about how the court was laser focused on that written contract.
Mm-hmm.
No assumptions, no industry standards. Everything had to be spelled out in black and white. Why was that so important?
Well, it really boils down to the whole point of contract law. Contracts are supposed to provide certainty, predictability in business, you know, so everyone knows what they're getting into. When courts start implying terms or reading between the lines, it gets really messy. It undermines the whole foundation of agreements.
So it's not just about being nitpicky with the words. It's about upholding a core legal principle.
Exactly. And J.O. Hooker & Sons v. Roberts Cabinet Co. is a great example of that.
Yep.
Remember how Hooker tried to terminate the whole contract? They were pretty insistent that they had the right to walk away.
Yeah, they were like, we're done. See you later, Roberts.
Yeah.
But the court said, nope, not so fast.
Right. They said Roberts not getting rid of those cabinets wasn't a big enough deal to justify scrapping the whole contract.
Which brings us back to material breach, right? We touched on that earlier.
It's not enough for one party to just deviate a little from the contract. The breach has to be substantial, something that really shakes the core of the agreement.
I think this is something a lot of our listeners can relate to. Whether you're drafting contracts or just dealing with agreements in everyday life, knowing when something's a minor hiccup versus a true deal breaker is so important.
Absolutely. It's about understanding your rights and your options. If someone breaches a contract with you, don't just assume you can walk away without any consequences. You need to look at the situation carefully and see what the law says.
Okay, so let's say I'm in Hooker's shoes. How do I figure out if a breach is material? Is there some kind of formula or test?
Well, there's no one-size-fits-all answer, unfortunately. Each case is going to be a little different. But here are some questions to consider. Does the breach really affect the value of the contract? Does it prevent the other party from achieving their main goals under the agreement? Was the breach intentional or just a careless mistake?
Okay, so it's nuanced, but at least those questions give us a starting point.
Exactly. And of course, when in doubt, talk to a lawyer. They can help you look at your specific situation and figure out the best way to handle it.
Always good advice. Now let's go back to that moment when the court chopped down a part of Robert's damages. They really scrutinized those storage costs, didn't they?
They did. And that shows us a lot about how courts handle damages. It's not a free-for-all. You can't just throw out a number and expect the court to go along with it. You need evidence to back it up. Solid proof.
My grandma used to say, in this family, we believe in proof, not just talk.
Huh. Exactly. And that's the message the court sent loud and clear. No proof, no recovery.
But even with the reduction, Robert still walked away with a decent amount of money. Right.
Oh, yeah, definitely. The court upheld most of the award, including a 26% profit margin for Roberts.
Even with all those conflicting opinions about what a typical profit margin should be.
Yep. The court ultimately went with the jury's decision on that one. So even when there's disagreement, if you can support your side with good evidence, the court might just rule in your favor.
All right, so we've talked about material breach, proving damages, and the court's effort to find a fair solution. But before we wrap up this part of the deep dive, I want to zoom out for a minute. What does this case tell us about the legal system as a whole?
I think it shows us how important clarity and precision are in legal matters. Contracts are the backbone of so many transactions, and when things go wrong, courts rely on those written words to figure out everyone's rights and responsibilities.
So it's a reminder that even in a world of handshakes and verbal agreements, having a well-written contract can be your best defense.
Exactly. And this case is a perfect example of that.
And we're back for the final part of our deep dive into J.O. Hooker & Sons v. Roberts Cabinet Co. We've really gone in depth on this one, haven't we?
We have. It's amazing how much we can learn from a dispute about, you know, who throws away old cabinets.
Seriously. But, you know, even though we've been focusing on the specifics of this case, the lessons we've talked about apply to way more than just cabinets and contractors.
Definitely. This case has some big implications for anyone who deals with contracts, no matter if you're a lawyer or just trying to navigate everyday agreements.
So let's zoom out for a minute. What are the key takeaways here? What can our listeners learn from this case and apply to their own lives?
Well, first of all, it really highlights how important it is to have a clear, well-written contract. Like we saw with Hooker and Roberts, ambiguity can lead to some pretty expensive disputes.
Right. You can't just shake hands and hope for the best. You got to get in writing.
Exactly. And when you're drafting that contract, be super careful. Spell out every single detail. Define all the important terms. Don't leave anything up in the air.
It's like they say, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Taking that extra time to get the contract right up front can save you so much trouble later on.
I couldn't agree more. Now, another big lesson is understanding that whole concept of material breach. Remember how we talked about how not all breaches are the same?
Yeah, there's a huge difference between a small mistake and a violation that basically blows up the whole agreement.
Exactly. And knowing that difference can really help you understand your rights and what you can do if someone breaches a contract with you. It helps you decide whether you should try to fix things or just walk away.
So if someone's thinking, okay, but how do I actually know if a breach is material? What advice would you give them?
I would say, look at the impact of the breach. Does it really change the value of the contract? Does it prevent the other party from getting what they were promised? If you answer yes to those questions, you might be looking at a material breach.
But as always, when in doubt, talk to a lawyer, right?
Always a good idea.
Yeah.
They can look at the specifics of your situation and help you figure out the best way to move forward.
Okay, so we've got clear contracts and material breach. What else should our listeners take away from this case?
Well, we can't forget about that moment when the court reduced Robert's damages because they didn't have enough proof. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. That was a big one. It really drove home the importance of having evidence.
It did. Whether you're trying to get damages or defending yourself against a claim, evidence is everything. You have to be able to back up what you're saying with concrete proof.
So everyone listening, keep those receipts. Document everything.
You got it. Being organized and keeping good records can really make a difference in a legal dispute.
All right, so to wrap things up, we've learned about the importance of clear contracts, understanding material breach, and having strong evidence to support your claims. Any final words of wisdom for our listeners?
I would just say this. Contracts are everywhere. They're in our businesses, our jobs, even our personal lives. Knowing the basics of contract law can really empower you to protect yourself and make good decisions.
Well said. Well, folks, that brings us to the end of our deep dive into J.O. Hooker & Sons v. Roberts Cabinet Co.
It's been a fun one, hasn't it?
It has. And I hope everyone listening found it informative, maybe even a little entertaining. Remember, knowledge is power, and being informed is the best way to navigate the complicated world of law and contracts.
And like always, if you're facing a legal issue, don't hesitate to reach out to a professional. A good lawyer can be your best ally.
Until next time, stay curious, stay informed, and stay contract savvy.